We're checking in on how Milwaukee-based Harley Davidson is doing in these difficult times. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In recent years, Harley made a push to market to women and minority riders to expand its base beyond its core demographic of older white men. And this week, it cut ties with a Tennessee dealership after racist comments were allegedly posted on the owner's Facebook page. Are you a Harley rider or an investor or a dealer? What do you think of the company's plans to boost sales? We're at 800-642-1234. Val Sibylkov is the Hans G. Storr Associate Professor in Finance at UW-Milwaukee. His research focuses on capital structure, corporate cash policies, and corporate governance. Val, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So Harley was not like, unlike other manufacturers, Harley announced on March 19th it would temporarily shut down most of its U.S. production. And then the Wall Street Journal said it restarted its lines in mid-May. How does a work stoppage affect manufacturing and Harley's bottom line?
Well, obviously, it is a concern to many companies, and especially to manufacturers such as Harley. It probably wasn't hit as bad as other companies that operate, such as restaurants, but it's still significant.
Why was Harley Davidson knocked off the S&P 500 this month? The S&P 500 measures stock performance of 500 large companies listed on stock exchanges in our country. So what was going on there?
Well, so basically the S&P 500 tracks largest companies, like you said. And over the past probably 5 years, the stock price of of Harley Davidson has been falling. And so one of the criterion for the inclusion or for the stock to be on the S&P 500 has to remain one of those big companies. And because the stock price of Harley fell, it no longer satisfied probably the requirement for being a large company. And so they got delisted from or removed from S&P 500 as a result. So it's primarily a result of the fall in the value of the equity of the company, so in the market capitalization of Harley. So over the last 5 years, I think about 5 years ago, it was at sort of its peak. It was at about $11 billion, give or take. Now it's about 3.7 or close to $4 billion, most recent price. And usually companies that are, I think the inclusion into S&P 500, I think the company has to be above $8 billion. So as Harley fell, obviously it had to be removed.
Which investors might care whether a company is listed on the S&P 500?
All investors might care because there's obviously several benefits to being on the S&P 500. One of the benefits is that there are some companies that could have or some investors that can invest, especially large institutional investors that can invest only in S&P 500 companies, only in large companies. Being on the S&P 500 usually subjects you or academic research shows that it subjects you to greater scrutiny. So basically, if you're on the S&P 500, the company is more visible, gets followed more, and so supposedly the performance of the company tends to be better.
Oh, so you may even have more cachet and more exposure, as you're saying. So it could perhaps hurt the brand not being on the S&P?
I'm not sure whether it hurts the brand, but because the company, the market capitalization fell, obviously it shows that the performance has been poor in terms of the stock price. But usually, being on the S&P 500 gets you additional scrutiny and better performance, everything else equal. So managers are more under the light so to speak.
Let's scrutinize the sales slump in recent years. Why are fewer people buying Harleys?
Also, if we're talking about sales per se, so if you look at the data, if you look at the stock, accounting statements, the sales decline hasn't been as dramatic as the decline in stock price. So between the year-end 2014 and year-end 2019, their sales declined by about 15%. So that's obviously big, but not as huge as the decline in the stock price. But their stock price has been hit more. Why their sales were declining? Well, there's a couple of reasons, obviously. Like you mentioned, their core, I mean, if we think about what Harley-Davidson is and what their product is, it's motorcycles. And at this day and age, their motorcycles are more of a luxury, more of a, I would say, you know, entertainment or more of a toy. And people who buy their products, they buy them because not out of necessity, but more probably for fun. I mean, some do buy out of necessity, but a lot of their products are quite, you know, on the higher end of the market.
A luxury,
luxury.
Yeah, we're talking about Harley-Davidson's financial challenges with Val Sibelkoff from UW-Milwaukee's finance department. You can join in. What questions do you have about Harley-Davidson and how the company is operating? Are you a Harley rider or an investor? What do you think of the company's plans for boosting sales? What types of motorcycles do you think Harley should be making right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Val, how has the company tried to boost sales in recent years? Is it in products? Is it in markets? What is it trying to do?
It's actually both. So they try to, as far as I understand, expand their product offering. So one of the things that they did, they introduced an electric bike. So another thing that they did was to get more into the cheaper products or at least the products with a lower price point. On the expanding geographically, they try to get into newer markets such as, markets in the Southeastern Asia like India, I think, and possibly China. They're trying to do that. But I think that it's more important to get into obviously, they would benefit greater, of course, if they were to get from this, you know, luxury or toy market more into the necessity market. Something that would appeal to a wider customer base or wider demographics, obviously.
When you say that it released its first electric motorcycle in September, has that bike been received well enough to kind of calm investors' concerns?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's been received well enough. And obviously, the stock price didn't go
do anything.
Go significantly up. I'm not sure it's been, solved their problem, so to speak.
Well, let's take a call on this. Let's go to Tom joining us from Madison. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. I'm a former Harley motorcycle owner and a former Harley-Davidson stockholder. I took a real beating on my stock, but I turned it around and bought a brand new Volvo. Company was not responsive. Yeah, it's a beautiful car. My bike was worthless on the secondary market. The company did not respond. You know, I am on the record and on video at their corporate meetings imploring them to get rid of a lot of the trifling things that tarnished the brand image and all of the offshore manufacturing, and to bring it back here to the U.S. and focus on U.S. and Canadian jobs. They weren't listening to this. I got sick of it. I watched the stock drop. I finally decided time to sell, and I bought a brand new Volvo V60 cross-country wagon.
Tom, thank you for telling your story. Val, how has Harley handled its shareholders and the decisions it's made?
Well, obviously, a lot of shareholders are upset. I think both individual shareholders and some institutional shareholders, from what I read, were upset about, if the stock price drops, 70% or more, it's not too good.
The company's president and CEO stepped down in February toward the beginning of this year after years of declining sales. What have you seen out of a switch in CEOs at the top?
So a new person came in, and I'm not sure whether it's there's two sides to that, right? So one thing is, if poor performance has been associated with the old executive, then removing is one side of the story. But also bringing somebody who can change things around is also very important.
We're looking at Harley Davidson and its economic situation as it stands. Val Sibelkoff is the UW-Milwaukee Finance Department teaching corporate finance. Do you support Harley tapping Jochen Zeitz to lead the company after the previous CEO stepped down? Do you agree with the vision Zeitz has laid out? What type of motorcycles do you think Harley should be producing now? What do you think of their electric bikes? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about Harley Davidson and the challenges facing an iconic Wisconsin company. What types of motorcycles do you think Harley should be producing? Should the company focus on big, loud bikes, or do you want smaller, sleeker models? How much does it matter to you that Harleys are made here in the U.S.? Join in 800-642-1234. Val Sibelkoff teaches corporate finance at UW-Milwaukee, and Val stays with us. Let's take another call now. Richard is here from Madison. Hi, Richard.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, my thing with Harley Davidson, and I'm diehard, I love Harleys, but I cannot buy a new one. You go to the dealership, I'm financially secure, and I went to the dealership twice since everything has started, COVID-19-wise has started, and said, look, I'll put $5,000-$10,000 down on a new bike that costs $26,000, and you go to Harley for financing, and they won't work with you. They won't allow it. I have a military pension, guaranteed payment every month, and they say, no, we're good. And so if you're trying to target a new, younger audience, how do you expect them to come in and deal with you if you won't work with them? You got to meet a guy halfway.
Richard, thank you for the call. Val, what challenges do you see there in how Harley runs its financing options for customers?
Well, so I agree with the caller they need to tap, obviously, into wider customer base and getting to these younger customers is very important for that, both in terms of, again, financing and possibly in terms of image and in terms of wider product offerings. What their financing details are, I'm not particularly sure, but obviously they provide a lot of financing to their customers, and they make a lot of money on financing as well. So if you look at their financial statements, pretty much I would say about half of their earnings comes from the financing that they provide and the other half roughly comes from the actual production.
And so, as Richard is saying, you know, if someone is saying, I'm going to come in and I'm going to put $10,000 down on this $26,000 new bike, but you have sky-high interest rates to finance this bike, that you could lose customers over that.
Certainly, yes. That is a concern. But again, if you want to, so given their dropping stock price, you have to expand customer base much more to regain that market value. There's certainly, in my opinion, there's a lot of opportunities there, but the main opportunities lie in trying to expand from this niche market that they're in to a wider market. I mean, truth be told, Harley faced incredible competition because, again, when you think about what their product is, it's basically, a leisure product and an entertainment product. And there's a lot of competition in that space. So obviously we have various video games, we have Netflix, YouTube, even regular electric bicycles that came to the market. And I would imagine that puts a lot of pressure on Harley, in terms of competition.
Do we know how any type of market penetration Harley is getting in recent years on those younger riders, as Richard mentioned, and also women riders?
They had several initiatives under the old or the CEO that stepped down recently. How successful those have been, it's hard to judge what sales would have been without them. So it's hard to get that data, obviously. But given that their sales declined, it hasn't been as successful as probably.
You can make some inferences. Yeah, you can make some inferences to that. So let's look at the CEO change here. So CEO Matt Levitich steps down, and then this is earlier in the year, and now you have the new president and CEO, who is Jochen Zeitz. What vision has he laid out for improving the company's profits?
So the new CEO, Mr. Zeitz, he has a very good and strong track record. So he's done amazing things at the company that he turned around
wasn't that his career. Puma?
Yes. So it was a German manufacturer of sports apparel. Certainly, I think Harley is a bit of a different animal in this respect. And so in Puma, his record was that he improved the stock value of the company about 40 times. So he increased it by about 4,000%.
Wow.
So that's obviously a very huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Can it be expected of Harley? It's hard to tell. Again, in my opinion, there are opportunities out there, but obviously there are challenges as well. So Mr. Zeitz is the one who, based on his experience, at least what he did at Puma, was that he looked at more of a broader, out-of-the-box thinking. And that's certainly a big plus, basically. But whether it is possible to do that at Harley, again, it's unclear. We hope that it is, but time will tell.
We're talking about Harley Davidson with Val Sibelkoff from UW-Milwaukee, getting your insights on the company, 800-642-1234. Val, the Milwaukee Business Journal is saying that local dealers are now seeing strong sales in used bikes and in maintenance. Why might that be the case?
Well, probably because of the shutdown we've seen, unfortunately, increase in distress of people, economic distress particularly. And so possibly there's not a lot of cash that people can commit to new bicycles. So that could be.
So they're keeping their old ones going or buying used. You know, let's look at President Trump's trade policies for a moment. As we saw the tariffs on steel, how did that impact Harley?
Probably, I'm not sure where Harley takes its steel from. So it is possible that it is U.S. steel, and so they weren't that affected. But certainly what Harley is trying to do with trying to bring a lot of that manufacturing to foreign countries is that they try to reduce the costs of their production. They say that bikes that they sell in the U.S. are U.S. produced, and then they produce in foreign markets for foreign consumers. And so that's certainly, they are trying to reduce the impact of tariffs by doing so.
What might be their advantages of manufacturing domestically? Because I would assume it would cost more.
Reputation and quality probably are the two big ones.
Reputation and quality. Your customers like the fact that it is made in the U.S.?
Well, yes, obviously. And then also, it is possible that there are some quality benefits to produce locally as opposed to where production has been set up, where there's people who's been working on that for quite a long time versus somebody where you have to get together a new workforce, somebody who hasn't been doing that for a while. Possibly there are some quality concerns there as well.
Val, thank you for joining us.
Was a pleasure.
Val Sibelkoff is an associate professor in finance at UW-Milwaukee. We've been talking about Harley's declining sales, new challenges amid the pandemic. Just ahead, a clinical psychologist shares how parents can talk about the pandemic with kids who have developmental challenges. We'll also hear about a new children's book that gives families a window into living with autism. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.